I'm at a disadvantage that I wasn't able to hear the speeches before me, so I hope that I don't repeat or say something that you heard already. So please forgive me. I want to congratulate my good friend Frank Buschweitz and the OU. And no, Frank, you did not pronounce my name right, but that's fine. The OU is doing a great job, much more than the kashrut that we have come to rely on. They're providing different congregations around the tri-state area with events like this where we get together. The focus of this event happens to be tefillah. It's the third of the series. In the previous talks, we talked about different aspects of tefillah. Tonight, with your permission, I'd like to discuss a topic that's a more of an overview over the power of tefillah. There was a Gemara in Ta'anit. The Gemara says, "En hagishamim ne'asarim, ela b'shvil ba'alei lashon hara." That one of the reasons why the rain stops, there's droughts, is because people that speak lashon hara. Now, even though this hasn't been proven scientifically, and I'm sure you're not going to hear this on the Weather Channel, or no meteorologist is going to say that there's been a drought, so everybody should start learning a halakha day from the Hafez Chaim. But there's a Hatam Sofer that explains the connection between a drought and Lashon Hara. And that has to do with tefillah, as you'll see. He says an amazing hadush. It's mind-boggling. He writes, where does the rain come from? The rain comes from the clouds. He says, and where does the clouds come from? He says, the clouds actually come from the vapor from when people speak. It means when a person talks, there's vapor that comes out. Now you can't see it, but in the winter, you see it, the smoke that comes out. He calls that edim. Edim is like a cloud. So he says, everybody speaks, and the clouds get together. And if you're speaking lashon hara, or sinful words, or words that are forbidden, so the clouds that are being created are clouds of sin. And the rain inside of those clouds is sinful rain. And now he says a vicious cycle takes place. The rain which is created from the Lashon Hara goes into the ground. The ground now is being fertilized from rain of sin. And now the tomatoes that grow from the ground are tomatoes of sin. And now the people come along and eat the tomatoes. You thought it was healthy to be a vegetarian. And now they take the tomato, and this was created from Lashon Hara, and they eat it. And it makes the person more prone to more lashon hara, and then more clouds, and more rain, and more, and it's a vicious cycle, doesn't end. So he writes that the only way to stop the cycle is to stop the rain. Once the rain stops, so everything dries up, the ground grows fallow, the produce doesn't grow anymore, and the people will make teshuvah, hopefully. And then the world resets itself. I say the reason why it's a mind-boggling hadush, because I don't think we understand it like that. That our speech creates clouds, and that's where the rain comes from. He must have had a Kabbalah of some sort, a tradition from his rabbis to explain the weather like this. But he brings a proof to it. And the proof comes from a story in Tanakh. Some have customs to tell stories on Motzei Shabbat. So we'll tell you a story from the Tanakh. There was a prophet called Eliyahu Navi. Eliyahu Navi Zachur Latov. And at the time, the king was Ahav. Ahav and Eliyahu didn't see eye to eye on many things. And they met at a Shiva'ah. There was actually a fellow by the name of Hiel. Hiel had lost 7 sons. Hiel was the one that rebuilt the city of Jericho against the curse of Yehoshua ben Nun. When Yehoshua conquered Jericho, he made a swear and a curse that nobody should rebuild the city. And anybody that does will do it at the cost of his children. Anyway, Hiel didn't take it seriously and he lost all his kids. They went to visit him. I don't know why Eliyahu Navi went to visit him, actually. But he was there, and Ahav is there. So Eliyahu tells Ahav, wow, terrible thing, huh? This guy Hiel is a renegade. The guy didn't listen to Yehoshua ben Nun. You see, the curse came on him. Ahav says, what are you talking? This is not from the curse of Yehoshua. If Yehoshua's rabbi, Moshe, if his curse didn't come true, you think Yeshua's curse is going to come true? So Eliyahu says, what do you mean? What curse of Moshe? He says, Moshe cursed and said, Hisham eru lachem, ben yiftel lebabchem, v'sartem v'abatem eluim ha'ayim v'shtahavitim nahem, lest you worship avodah zarah, v'atzar et ha'shamayim v'lo yiyeh matar. If you worship idolatry, God is going to close the skies, there's not going to be any more rain. Ahav then says, there's not an Avodah Zarah that I haven't worshipped. He even pulled a pocket Avodah Zarah out of his pocket. He says, I worshipped everything. And look how much rain there is. He lifted up his robe and he says, my robe is filled with mud because of all the puddles in the streets. So if Moshe Rabbeinu, who's the rabbi, cursed and his curse didn't come true, you think Yeshua's curse is going to come true? So Eliyahu Navi took it personally. Eliyahu Navi said, oh yeah. Not only is it going to come true, Hay ani ni'um Hashem, on the name of God, he swore, no more rain. And the Navi says, for the next 3 years, there was a drought in Eretz Yisrael. And finally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Eliyahu Navi after 3 years. The Mefarshim say it was actually 18 months. Shani mekuta'ot, but let's say 3 years. And God tells Eliyahu Navi, okay, bring back the rain. They got the message, they got the point. The people are suffering. So Eliyahu Navi, he calls a conference of all the Jewish people on Har HaKarmel. I was just there in Eretz Yisrael, it's a beautiful place next to Haifa. Big majestic mountain, he calls all the people there. And he calls the false prophets there as well. And he gets up and says this in the Botai. Enough is enough. The people have to make a decision. Either we worship God or we worship the Nebiyeh Baal. Today is the day. Today we decide who is right. So he erected 2 altars, 2 mizbechot. He took 2 animals and he made the following proposition to the prophets, the false prophets. Listen, you take a sacrifice, I'll take a sacrifice. Without the aid of fire, whoever is successful in bringing a fire from the heaven, that's the real God. That's the one that has the real God. And we all agree to concede to each other. Is that fine? And the Eliyahu Navi tells the idolaters, you go first. So they had the Mizbeach. And Eliyahu Navi says, okay, you could pick whatever goat you want. It's all the same to us. So they go to the first goat and they start to pull it and it doesn't want to go. It clenches its feet in the ground. They're pulling it and they're pulling it. They should have known from then they're going to have a bad day. So Eliyahu Navi says, are you having trouble? No. Everything's fine. But they couldn't get the goat to move. Eliyahu Navi realized what was going on. The goat doesn't want to go with them. The goat wants to go on the Jewish Mizbeach. So Eliyahu Navi whispers in the goat's ear, go with them, don't worry, they're going to fail. You're also going to be part of the Kiddush Hashem. The fact that they won't be able to do it is a success. So don't worry about it. You're just as part of the good as the other, as your friend. So the goat went with them. And he puts it on the Mizbeach. They put it on the Mizbeach. And again, they have no fire. What they did was, they put a shill in the Mizbeah. They made a trap door, and they put a guy in the Mizbeah with a firecracker. And they told him, when we give you the signal, you'll set off the firecracker, and that's what we'll do. Happens to be the stooge that they put in the Mizbeah was Hiel. This is this wise guy that lost 7 children. This was his way to get back into the Yahweh Navi. So they put him in there. Anyway, God runs the world. The second he got in there, God sent a snake, a rattlesnake, and bit Hiel. So Hiel's dead. They don't know that in the Nevi'ah Baal. So they start with their incantations, and they're praying and doing all sorts of stuff. And they kick the side of the Mizbeah, and nothing. There's no response. So Eliyahu Nabi starts to, dig them a little. Maybe your God is sleeping, they don't wake him up. And they start again, they're praying and all that, and they're kicking the Mizbeah, they're giving him signals, the fire, and there's nothing. Eliyahu Nabi says, maybe your God went to the bathroom, and so on and so forth. Finally, already he was coming the afternoon, and they weren't able to produce anything. So Eliyahu Nabi says, now it's my turn. To make it more dramatic, Eliyahu Nevi tells his student Elisha to take his hands and to stick it over the Mizbeah. Miraculously, the ten fingers of Elisha turned into water hoses, and water started coming out of his fingers and started to fill the Mizbeah with water. Eliyahu Nevi said, not only am I going to bring a fire down, but it's going to be a fire in the water. Double miracle. And then he says, Aneni Adonai Aneni, 3 words. Boom, a fire comes down from the heaven with the water, consumes the korban. And unrehearsed, the Jewish people break out into a cheer, a religious cheer. Adonai Hu HaElohim. Adonai Hu HaElohim. They accept upon themselves Hashem. And all of a sudden, Navi goes on to say, they look far, and they see a small cloud. And Eliyahu Navi says, here it comes, there's the rain. Everybody bring in your barbecues, bring in your lawn furniture. There's going to be a big storm over here. And everybody runs ahead, and all of a sudden the cloud comes to the land, and sure enough, there was rain. And everybody lived happily ever after. Says the Hatam Sofer from this story. God told Eliyahu to bring back the rain. He didn't tell him to make a seminar. Why didn't he just bring back the rain? What's all this drama? Har HaKarmel, the Tum Mizbechot. So he writes like this. To bring back the rain, you need to reset the creation. Because until then, the rain was the rain of Avodah Zarah. So you needed to start to create new rain clouds that had Torah in them, that had Kedusha in them. So he brings them to Har HaKarmel. He says, all of a sudden, when they all pronounced Hashem wa Elokim, those words over there have a lot of vapor. Hashem, hu, ha, 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 the air comes out. He says, from all of the vapor of all of those people that said Hashem wa Elokim, it combined to create a cloud. And all of a sudden, Eliyahu says, oh, that's the cloud. There it is, it's coming. That was the Hashem wa Elohim cloud that was created from their vapor. And as it moved towards the people, now it started to rain. Rain of Berah. It's an amazing concept. I mean, you have to be a prophet to figure this out. And then it started to rain, Kedusha, and so on and so forth. So we have to know that there's a tremendous koach that comes from a person's mouth. What comes out of his mouth has the ability to affect the Briyah, the creation. If good things come out of the mouth, so the creation is affected positively. And if bad things come out of a person's mouth, the world is affected negatively. Till now you thought speech affects maybe you, maybe affects the guy next to you, the one that you're talking about. But now you see that the person's speech and the way he uses his mouth has a global effect. There's a Shlach HaKadosh. Shlach HaKadosh says, there's 2 Pesukim in Tehillim. Shlach's question was like this. Why did God create us with 32 teeth. Most people have 32 teeth. You have 16 on the uppercase and then 16 on the lowercase. Why? Obviously, there's a reason why God chose that number. He could have made 52 teeth, or He could have made us just one big tooth. Why 32 teeth? So He reconciles it with two pasukim in Shina Shinim that talk about teeth. One pasuk says, Shinaich ke'eder harhelim sha'alu min harahsan. Second pasuk, Shinaich ke'eder haketzuvot. What are the two pesukim? Shinaich, your teeth, ke'eder harhelim, are like the group of sheep. Group of sheep, teeth. Maybe it means just like the sheep are white, so the teeth are white. But what about a person with yellow teeth? What does it mean, the pasuk, Shinaich ke'eder harhelim? And then the next pasuk, Shinaich ke'eder haketzuvot. Your teeth are like the group that's established, that's katsuf, that's set. What does that mean? So he says, unbelievable. He says in the Beit HaMikdash, on a weekly basis, you had to bring sacrifices. How many mandatory sacrifices were there per week in the Beit HaMikdash? Well, let's figure it out. Every day you had the Tamid Shel Shachar and the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. That's two. Two a day. Even on Shabbat, you had a tamid. So that's two a day times seven is 14. On Shabbat, you had an additional two korbanot for korban musaf. So the mandatory korbanot on any given week was 16. So he says, that corresponds the 16 teeth. Why? He writes, today we don't have a Beit HaMikdash anymore. We cannot bring the 16 korbanot. So what has taken the place of service? Prayer. Unshalema parim sefatenu. Today we have lip service. So he says God gave man 16 teeth in order to remind him that the function of the mouth is to be used in tefillah. Corresponding shinaich ke'eder harhelim. Your teeth correspond the group of sheep, the mandatory korbanot, which today we have prayer instead. What about the lowercase? So he says, what's the amount, the minimum amount of people that go up to the Sefer Torah in any given week? The minimum amount. Well, you have Monday and Thursday, that's three each, that's six. Shabbat morning, you have seven, that's 13. And Shabbat afternoon, you have another three. So the obligatory number is 16. Shinaich, the bottom teeth remind us of the obligation to study Torah. Shinaich ke'edra kitzuvot, that's the group that's established by the Chikaris to Gedulah, the set amount of people that go up to the Sefer Torah, which is teaching us that the function of the mouth is for either tefillah or Torah. But there might be even a deeper explanation to explain the 32 teeth. And that is what was said over by the Ba'al Ohev Yisrael, the Abter Rav. He said like this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with speech. Bidvar Adonai Shamayim Na'asu. Ba'asara Ma'amarot Nivra Olam. God created the world in 10 utterances. Yehi'or, Yehirakia, etc. What were these utterances made out of? What's the ingredients of these utterances? The 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. The letters of the Hebrew alphabet are different than any other alphabet. Whereas all other letters are just communicative. If I want to communicate, I need to take five or six letters, make a word out of it, so you understand what I'm talking about. But the words in Lashon HaKodesh are words that can create, there's energy in the Lashon. These are creative words. You know, there's a sefer, maybe you've seen it. I've seen it, but I've never read it because I don't understand it. It's called Sefer HaYetzirah. It's a book written by Avraham Avinu. Could you believe it? We have a book that's written by Avraham Avinu. You could buy it in the store. It says, Ne'arat Avraham Avinu. This Sefer Yetzirah, basically, what I understand it does, and I could be wrong, it gives you the secrets of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and it tells you how to use them to create things. I'll give you an example. Well, Avraham was the author, so he used it. You know, there's a big question when he had the three guests that came over to the house. So he gave them tongue, with mustard, it says. And he also gave them milk and butter. And everybody asks, hey, milk and meat. Avraham kept the whole Torah before it was given. How did he give them the milk and meat? So the simple answer is he gave them the milk first and he gave them the meat after. But the Malbim says another answer. He says, the meat wasn't meat. He says tongue. No. Where did he get three tongues in 10 minutes? How do you get three animals in 10 minutes in serving? So it says the Malbim, he used Sefer HaYetzirah, he took some letters, put them together, and he synthetically created three animals. The Pasuk writes, Ve'et ben ha-bakar asher asa. The ben ha-bakar that he made, he actually made it. He wrote Sefer HaYetzirah. So the Malbim writes, the product that's created through Sefer HaYetzirah, it's pav. It's not meat, it's like tofu. It's synthetic. So therefore they were eating tongue, but it was like soy. It really wasn't tongue. So you can have milk with that, and you can have butter with that. So that's an amazing thing. And he used it with Sefer HaYetzirah, using the alphabet to create. The Gemara says, there were certain rabbis that used to have a seder on Erev Shabbat, learning Sefer HaYetzirah, Gemara Sanhedrin. And they used to create the dinner. They used to create the Iglat Tilta. They would create different types of animals, and that would be the food for Shabbat, from Sefer HaYetzirah. As a matter of fact, if any of you ever went to a magic show, it doesn't matter which show or which magician, all of them have something in common. The vernacular that's used in a magic show is before the magician takes the rabbit out of the hat, he says abracadabra. You might be wondering, why is that the universal term before they take a rabbit out of the hat? What is abracadabra? Abracadabra actually is two words in Lashon HaKodesh. Ebra kedabera. I will create according to my words. Now I'm sure the modern magician doesn't know that. To them it's just another terminology that's been passed down to them. But we understand in words a person is able to create. So the Abdur Rav says, God created the world with the 12 to 22 letters. That's why, maybe you've heard of a terminology, sometimes we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Kavyachol. You ever hear that they say? Kavyachol. What does Kavyachol mean? It's a hard word to interpret. He says Kavyachol is Kav, that's Chavbet, that's the 22 letters of Hebrew alphabet, Yachol. God's ability is from the 22 letters. Kav Yachol, he takes the 22 letters and he's able to create a world with it. So he asks, after God created the world, how does it remain in existence? We say in our prayers every morning, HaMehadesh B'tuvo B'chol Yom Tamid Ma'aseh B'reshit. God renews the creation every single second. HaMehadesh B'tuvo B'chol Yom Tamid. So he writes like this. When a person prays, or a person learns, When we pray, what are we doing? We're basically spitting out the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet in different configurations. What is the Sidur made up of? It's just a formation of the Chaf Bet Otiyot. So he writes, when you take the Sidur and pray, God takes the 22 letters that you're spitting out, and he reconfigures them up into the Asara Ma'amarot. And therefore, through prayer, the creation continues to have an existence, because the world needs to have the energies of the 22 letters. So you speak the 22 letters in Tefillat Shacharit, or Tefillat Mincha, or Tefillat Arbit. The 22 letters go up, and now they're reconfigured into becoming the Asara Ma'amarot. So he writes, 22 letters, Asara Ma'amarot, 22 plus 10 is 32. He says, that's why God gave us 32 teeth, to remind us of the power that Klal Yisrael has through their prayers, that they're able to continue and give energy to the Biriyah, that it should continue to exist. This already is very meaningful for us. It shows us that our tefillot are not mere lip service. It's not an exercise, Chas v'Shalom, in futility. Because many times a person might say to themselves, I pray and I pray and I pray, I didn't get answered. That's only one of the functions of prayer, to get answered. But the greater function is to keep the world in existence. And that's what the Mishnah means in the beginning of Pirkei Avot, that the world stands on three things, and one of the three things is Avodah, and Avodah is Tefillah. But now you understand the mechanics, how it works. That when a person speaks, besides the fact that he's creating clouds, besides that it's affecting the vegetation, besides that it's affecting the world, it's affecting the weather, the koach of the peh is tremendous. But more importantly, if we have a world in existence, it's because people prayed Arbit tonight. And if there's going to be a world tomorrow morning, it's because you're going to contribute to the 22 letters of the creation, of the alphabet, by praying Shacharit. And God turns those 22 letters into Asara Ma'amarot. Hence it becomes 32. And hence the 32 teeth, in order to elude that concept to us. And that's what the Gemara means also, and I'll conclude with this. The Gemara says, prayer, tefillah, is from the things that are omed b'rumo shel olam. Kirum zulut l'bnei adam, elu devarim she'omdim b'rumo shel olam. What does it mean, it's omed b'rumo shel olam? It's that there's clouds of prayer. When a person prays, the prayer goes up, it becomes like a cloud, like the Hatam Sofer said. Omdim birumo shel olam. It stands in the highest places, and then at a certain point, God sends back the Shefa down to the people. A few weeks ago, I had the zechut, to be in Jordan, the country of Jordan, Yarden. We went to visit Petra, which is actually one of the seven wonders of the world. But I didn't come to tell you about Petra. After Petra, we had donkeys waiting for us, and we rode the donkeys for about an hour until we got up to a mountain called Hor HaHar, which is where Aharon HaKohen is buried. And we had about 50 people with us. It was a sight to see 50 donkeys going up the mountain together until you got to the top. It's one of the highest mountains in Jordan. And they have a big shrine. The Arabs call it Jabal Harun, the mountain of Aharon. And you see, it's Hor HaHar. It's a mountain and there's another mountain. It's not so easy to get there. When we got to the mountain, the boy said, Rabbi, tell us a derash. Tell us something. As I looked down at the valley, I was too scared to even speak. So I said, I'll give you a quick hiddush. Then we prayed Mincha, we prayed by Aaron, and we came down. I told them based on this derash that we said tonight here, it says Aharon died. After he died, the Kanaani people saw that the Jewish people were vulnerable because the clouds of glory dissipated. And Aharon was responsible for the clouds of glory which protected us. But when he died, the clouds dissipated. So the enemies saw that we were vulnerable, so they attacked. Somebody once asked, what does that mean? He died, the clouds of glory dissipated. How do we explain that? So based on the Hatam Sofer, we said like this. Aharon HaKohen was Ohev Shalom V'Rodev Shalom. That was his midah. He loved peace. He was a pacifist. He saw two people fighting. He made shalom. He united the people. So they say like this. When he was alive, there was unity. You know where the Anane Kavod came from? When the people would speak, the Vret Torah, the Vret Tefillah, Hatam Sofer says there was Edim again, those clouds. Since they were unified, what happened to all the clouds? They became all one big cloud and they protected. Once Aharon died and there was no more Ohev Shalom V'Rodev Shalom, they were still producing clouds, but the clouds were individual clouds. There were holes in the clouds now. That's why he says the clouds were called Anane Kavod. They were clouds that were produced from the Kavod that each Jew had for each other. And since there was unity amongst them, the clouds became one. Once he died and the Shalom died with him, the clouds started to dissipate. And now the enemy saw that Klai Yisrael was vulnerable and they attacked. So you see again, the concept repeats itself over and over again. It's clear that we're living in times that are not so safe. And the world is very unstable. Whether it's here, whether it's in Eretz Yisrael, wherever it may be. And therefore there's no greater power that we have. Like the Gemara says, En kohan ela bapeh. The Jewish people, their power is in their mouth. Their power is in their speech. Because we were given Lashon HaKodesh. God gave us the gift of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. That's a koach. That's like a dynamo. It's like a reactor of kohot. And God gave us a sidur where we could express Ibra kedabera. We're able to create through these forces of tefillah. So to me, that's an incentive. Now we already have a different end game in tefillah. I hope I'm answered. But even if I'm not, how many times do you ladies that they go to Tehillim readings to pray for a certain person, and then God forbid the next day they hear that the person didn't make it. And they say, oh, we wasted our time. We read the book back and forth. You didn't waste your time. You donated and you contributed many configurations of the 22 letters. The building blocks of creation, the protoplasm of creation. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu uses those 22 letters to continue the world. Is not that a value? Maybe that sick person was the catalyst to get you together, to give you those words to the creation, to continue the world for a couple of more minutes or a couple of more days. So there was a value. Even when the prayer was not answered, there's always a benefit. Of course, we hope we can have a full benefit where it's a win-win. Where we benefit the world and we benefit ourselves. And that's the Musaf. Our koach is in the pen. Our koach is in the mouth. Remember the 16 teeth and the 16 teeth. The top 16 remind us of Tefillah. And the bottom 16 remind us of Torah. Other than that, one should be very, very careful when he speaks. One should economize the words that come out of his mouth. Other than tefillah and Torah, one should be very miserly in the words that he uses. One should be very cheap and careful. I'll leave you with one anecdote that I read recently. There was a judge. The judge worked for 50 years. and he decided to retire. Tuvia Shofet. The Beit Yishai brings this anecdote. So he retired, he wanted to get to the other side of the river where the island was, where he can retire. But the problem was Tuvia Shofet doesn't swim. So he's just sitting on the beach waiting for somebody to help him. A guy comes and says, "Are you Tuvia the Shofet?" "Yes." You look, you have a problem. "I need to get to the other side of the river." "So?" "But I don't swim." He says, "Baruch haba, come on my back. I'll swim you. I'll take you to the other side." This guy was figuring one day he'll lead him. He's a judge. Maybe one day he'll cross a red light or do something illegal. "I'll go to Tuvia Shofet and I helped you. I was the guy that took you over the river. Give me a good judgment. Ulterior motives for sure." He's swimming, and Tuvia Shofet's there. They're not talking. He's concentrating on the swimming, and Tuvia Shofet's also concentrating on his vacations. Finally, they're almost to the end. Tuvia Shofet decides to drum up a conversation, and he tells the guy, "You know, I just retired." So all of a sudden, the guy throws him off his back, and Tuvia Shofet, you know, he's trying to tread water, and he drowns. The guy makes it to the end, and the people on the shore say, "What did you do? Why did you drown him?" He says, "I didn't drown him. I promise you, I didn't drown him." He says, "As long as I thought he was still a shofet, he weighed like a feather on my back. I didn't even feel him. But once already he told me he retired, he felt like a grand piano. His weight was heavy weight. I didn't throw him off his back. I couldn't bear it anymore." And the Beit Yishai says, "Tuvia Shofet, who asked you to talk? What did you have to open your mouth for? What did you gain to say that information? Either Devre Torah or Devre Tefillah. Everything else can get a person into trouble." There was one president, a former president of the United States, he said, "I never had to retract something I didn't say." But she's right. When the word is inside of you, you control it. When the word leaves your mouth, it controls you. And therefore, we must be reminded as we come to Mechazek HaTefillah, that's a function of prayer. That's a function of the mouth. That's a function of the speech. And God reminds it, the 32 teeth are a stark reminder daily. When you wake up in the morning, you're brushing your teeth, you're reminded, 16 and 16, Devre Torah and Devre Tefillah. Shinayich Keder Al-Chedim, Shinayich Keder HaKetzuvot. I wish you all Shavua Tov, and the Teskud Shrim Rabot, Na'imot V'Tovot.
I want to thank everyone for coming tonight. I think it's a testimony to our yearning for tefillah that we're here close to midnight on Motzei Shabbat. Thank Rav Eli Mansour, Rav David Goldwasser, Rav Shol Robinson, and thank, of course, the Orthodox Union for arranging this. You could pick up in the lobby the booklets on tefillah as well as some CDs from Rav Mansour, all free. Shavua Tov, Chag Sameach.